Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure do. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. Great to have you. Big show lined up for you today as we head into the football weekend. And also NBA weekend, NHL weekend, soccer weekend, big weekend, good weekend that we've got to get into, a ton to talk about. I am Rob Brown, the great Lonzo, on the other side of the metaphorical glass this AM. Zo, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I watched about 3 minutes of this Thursday night football contest last night in the first half, and I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm good. This is the most boring-ass football game I've ever watched in my life.
And then a scoring explosion happened in the second half.
Explosion's a strong word.
Comparatively. To the first half play.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
Comparatively, yeah. Is a good
Not
word.
Not the outcome you wanted, but, you know.
No, I didn't. No. Stop doing this thing where you think I'm actively rooting against Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. It was a boring football game.
So we're not going to do the real Aaron Rodgers showed up last night, and now it's
really right. He had 32 passing yards in the first half.
Right, but we're talking about the second half.
No, we're talking about the game. Okay. And the game itself got, I guess, good in the fourth quarter, I guess.
So that was just an average catch by...
No, Garrett Wilson's catch was okay. Spectacular.
Okay, all right.
But again, are we going to try to write off 32 passing yards out of the Packers and what was it, 7.1 touchdown of scoring in the first half, and the game was good because of a Garrett Wilson catch?
You're pointing all that out. You need to point out how bad Houston was on the other side.
Houston was ass, too. That's why I said the game was boring and not the Jets were boring. If I was just a Jets, I'd have said the Jets were boring. This game
actually
was ugly.
Did. Yeah, well, it was, and NFL games are like that.
That's
sometimes.
All I said. Stop trying to make it more than it was. I said the game sucked, and it did.
I mean, you could have just went, nah, you're wrong, and moved on. I mean, you could have did that.
No, I know that. I know that. But you tried to make it a Rob versus Aaron Rodgers thing when it wasn't. It was a Rob versus this game thing.
So conniving or clever to do such a thing. That's to talk radio.
I mean, don't get me
just
wrong.
It's not me.
Don't get me wrong. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that yeah, if you just
I
said,
think, I think we all know that.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers, but this wasn't an Aaron Rodgers thing. This was just let me put it this way.
Thank goodness he got that left or that right leg in too, because he double tapped the left. And we know that's not a touchdown.
No. Two foots does not equal 2 feet. It's got to be 2 feet. 2 foots.
It's got to be one on each leg.
Yeah, 2 foots. One shin counts, though, and that's the good news.
What if you have two left feet?
That's an expression.
I know. But can you say, hey, I got two left feet.
I don't think you're playing NFL wide receiver if you literally have two left feet, and I don't think, well, I can't boogie is going to earn you any extra credit with the stripes. Last night for Halloween, because I am now 40-ish,
You keep saying you're 40. It's going to hit you when you actually are.
I'm close enough to count.
All right.
I've rounded
up. I'm not going to say that I'm 60 because I'm not, and I'm not rounding up to that.
The lady and I last night, instead of, you know, Halloween costume partying late into the evening, we went and we watched a string quartet play an homage to horror movies and television shows and classical music. It was phenomenal. It was a tremendous event. I enjoyed it a lot. Well, as we get to the event, we got there a little bit early.
Is this black tie?
It was not. In fact, there were a couple of people there in costume.
So it wasn't a dressed up kind of evening.
No. I wore pretty much the same thing. Different black shirt, but pretty much what I'm wearing today.
Allegedly.
All right? and jeans. Like, it was a nice little event. It wasn't over the top, but it definitely wasn't definitely more than shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh, you got to do that hairstyle.
I can't do that.
Sure you can.
If I could, I would. So we went to see this string quartet play some music, and we got there a little bit early, because when you go to fancy music,
that's what old folks do. They get there early.
No, when you go to fancy music shows, once the performance starts, the doors are closed. They will not let you in if you're late. Because out of respect to the musicians and the focus they've got to have.
I do appreciate you pointing this out to the lessers such as myself have never been to that sort of fancy thing where they...
I'm just trying to help.
I saw it on, what was it, Spider-Man 2?
Trying to get you cultured.
Where they closed the doors and wouldn't let Peter Parker in?
Yep.
So it's that sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Very fancy. Once the performance starts, you can't go in. So we got there a little bit early, and we were having a glass of wine and waiting for the show to start. And I pulled out my phone and was checking, you know, what scores are happening, what's going on in the NBA, yada, yada, yada. And one of the things that I happened to notice was that the 2-6 Jets were favored in this game over the 6-2 Texans. And I was like, part, not favored, like 2.5 points worth of favored at home. I'm like, what?
And Vegas was right.
Yes, they were. This is why, as someone who does a nationally syndicated sports gambling show every Saturday from noon to four on the BetQL network, Bet for the Cycle with me and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker. This is why I tell people, if you are looking up and down at lines or scores or props or whatever, and you see a number that doesn't click, that doesn't make sense, do not automatically think, oh, Vegas got something wrong. They didn't. They know what they're doing. All right. Jets favored, the 2-6 Jets off a 5-game losing streak, favored over the 6-2 Texans who ended Anthony Richardson's career-ish last week. I'm like, what is going on here? So we go enjoy the show. It's from like 6:30 to 7:30. We get done. We snag some dinner downtown, and then we head back to the house. We got there, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes after kickoff, and about midway through the first quarter, and I turn it on, and I watched, like I said, I watched about 8 minutes, and when even Michaels and Herb Street are like, you can tell they're doing everything in their power to try to make this interesting, and it's just not. So my question is, we've kind of grown to expect that out of the New York Jets. They're not good. Is this going to be a trigger for a turnaround? I don't know. Are we going to see a new Jets team? Is this a Jets team that's about to run the table? Let's not go bananas just yet. But my question is, what the hell is going on with the Houston Texans after this game? Because C.J. Stroud was 11 of 30 last night. Like, he was not good last night. And don't get me wrong, the Jets have one of the better on paper. The Jets have one of the better defensive backfields in the NFL. This is why the Jets being 2-6 is so damn shocking. The caliber of offensive talent that they have, combined with a good on paper defense for the New York Jets, that's why the story of the Jets is so interesting. Is so shocking. The story is so shocking primarily because there's really no reason for them to be 2-6. And this is why folks have been looking to blame Aaron Rodgers or blame Woody Johnson or blame Robert Saleh, who is gone, or blame Nathaniel Hackett, or blame whoever the hell they can put blame on, because there's little to no excuses for the Jets to be now 3-6, but have been 2-6 and on a 5-game losing streak going into this game. There's no reason for it. But there's also no reason for the Texans to have looked as awful as they looked last night. I mean, how does a divisional leader play that poorly? I don't understand. And again, everybody, this is one of those times as an analyst, you kind of want to look around and you kind of want to say, hey, look, it's one game. Don't overreact. No knee-jerk reaction. You are not as good as your best game, and you're not as bad as your worst game. You're somewhere in the middle of that. And I absolutely believe that to be true. This is, though, I would say, the worst game that Houston Texans have played so far this year. Not their first loss. They dropped one to the Vikings. But at the time, the Vikings were a wagon at that point.
I was going to say, I think the Vikings loss was worse. I know if you look at record-wise, you're like, yeah. But the way they played last night, from what I've seen, and I watched more than you did, was not good. It may be they just weren't up for their opponent type thing, or maybe it was just a bad game. I don't know, but they didn't look good last night.
They looked awful last night. No, they looked good. They looked bad. They looked actively like a bad football team last night, and I don't get it. You did watch more than me because of how bad they looked, them and the Jets, but how bad they both looked in this game. I watched, I don't know, 8 to 15 minutes in the second quarter, mid-first quarter into the second quarter, and I was like, this is bad football, right? So that we're clear.
I watched the entire second quarter up to halftime, so there we go.
And I'll put it this way. Those of you that follow me on social media, you are well aware that Rob Brown does not have any issue staying up late and watching football. As bad of a decision as it is, I'm actually 22 years old and I look like this because that's the amount of sleep I get. I know I'm killing myself slowly. It is what it is. It's for your entertainment. You're welcome. I don't mind staying up late on a Thursday night to watch a little late night Thursday night football. In fact, I'm a big fan. I do it with regularity. I was asleep, out like a light at like 9:30 last night, 9:45 last night. Gone. Just out. Got home. Laid down, turned on the Thursday night football, and I'll stay up in bed. Like, I'll lay down, I'll turn on the Thursday night football, I'll watch it, I'll stay up and finish the game, and then the minute the game's over, I'll turn the TV off and I take it to sleep.
Difficult for me because Al Michaels puts me to sleep, and it's just so bad.
You hate Al Michaels.
No, I mean, back in the day, like in the 70s and 80s, he was pretty good. But you know how long ago that was?
I do. Very long time. Very long time ago. Somebody pointed out, somebody gave me, you know how there's those movie comparisons where they're like, if you remade Back to the Future and Marty McFly in 2024 went back the same amount of years he went in Back to the Future, you would go back to 1995 right now, or 1994 right now. You know how depressing that is? I vividly remember 1994. I was old enough to be creating memories in 1994 that I still have. That hurts my feelings.
Well, when you reach a certain age, you no longer vividly remember, so you'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll lose it at some point. So I got home. I put on the pajamas. I laid in the bed. Turned on the TV. Watched about 8, 10, 12 minutes of this game and went, nah. I'm all right. And I do want to point out, Rob Brown is a fan of defensive football games. This game was not two defensive teams slugging it out. This was two bad football teams. And again, the narrative here was, this is a bad football team in the Jets that has no reason to be bad. And this is a good football team in the Texans that is just playing really bad. So, I mean, there's narratives here that you can discuss. There's narratives here that you can discuss. Storylines you can discuss. Are the Jets turning it around? Has something happened to the Texans, right? Like, did something go wrong? Is there enough tape now? Did something about the offense around C.J. Stroud get figured out the Jets took advantage of? There's all these questions that we can ask and narratives we can take away from this game moving forward in the NFL season. But, God, it was a bad football game. Like, it was just, and you know me, there are very few bad football games that I won't watch and be able to say, well, I'm entertained by this. Even if this team's bad, I'm enjoying this running back, or, this offensive line is dominating, or this defense is lights out, or there's this, or there's that, or that player, or that coach. You know what I mean? There were zero redeemable qualities from that game last night, at least while I was awake. You had a spectacular, actually, you had a couple of spectacular catches because Devontae had one on the sideline. And there was some drama because he caught one on the sideline, landed on his head, had to go get checked out by the independent neurologist before he was allowed to return. And so there was a question about that. There was some drama there. You had Conkley drop the ball on the one going into the end zone. Like, these things aren't, as a football fan, entertaining. I mean, they're a little bit dramatic, sure, but like, God, that game was just bad. That game was, I'm going to sleep bad. Turn the TV outright off. There's bad games that I will shut my eyes, but I'll leave the TV on and I'll listen to the games as they progress because, you know, maybe something sparks my attention before I fall asleep. All of a sudden, there's a record that's on the table, or a team that was playing terrible first half football has suddenly found something, or, you know, there's a big hit or a big injury or whatever that drags me back into the game before I drift off into Neverland. TV went straight up off, power button off last night in the dark at 9:25. I'm out by 9:40. Maybe that's the cure to my mild yet clinically diagnosed insomnia. Maybe I just need to start DVRing the Jets. Maybe I just need to save the recording of this game from last night. And, you know, if I'm having trouble falling night-night, maybe I just put this game back on.
Or just the dulcet tones of the guy who was calling the game.
Why do you hate Al Michaels so much?
Because he's like Pat Summerall level. At the end of Pat Summerall, I mean, he's right there where it's just, it's not good. It's really not.
I mean, he's not Al Michaels circa 92. He's not calling the miracle on ice anymore.
I feel so bad for Herb Street. I really do.
I think Herb Street's loving his life. I love Herb Street's life. Are you kidding me? College game day on Saturday, college football on Sunday night, Monday night football, Thursday night football. Like, Kirk Herbstreit's living the best damn life you could ask for. Are you kidding me? And he gets to travel with Ben? What a ride. I think this is Ben's last season on the road, though, he said.
He is, I just wonder what kind of care he has to help give during, you know, breaks and stuff for Al. Go get his drinks for him.
I thought you were going to talk about Ben, and then you said, no, not the dog.
No.
Al.
Yeah.
I think Al's doing just fine, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Al's doing just fine. Uh-huh. I think Al's okay. Put it this way. There was a point at the end of the ride. I was a big Vern Lundquist guy growing up. Remember Vern calling SEC on CBS? Big Vern Lundquist guy.
Like jowls.
Oh, yeah. He was a bulldog.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Big Vern Lundquist guy. Loved Uncle Vern. And there was a point probably 5 or 6 years ago where Vern just wasn't the same guy anymore, right? Like, was messing up players' names. He was getting tricked by the offenses. Like, they'd run a play action, and he's calling the running back who definitely did not get the ball. Hands it off to Michaels, runs it up the middle, bounces off a linebacker, gain of 6, and the quarterback's like 10 yards away scrambling for his life down the sideline, and Vern's just lost, and you can hear Gary like, nope. I don't think Al's quite there yet. Quite there. He's at least getting like players' names correct still. So you got to give him that. All right, we got to take a break. We got a lot to get to. Coming up this morning at 8:40, we got Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast live, 9 o'clock. Kevin and John from the Move in the Chains podcast will run you through the entirety of the high school football weekend. Coming up at 7 a.m., my recorded interview with Marty Smith. Didn't get a chance to run it yesterday. We'll run it today. That's coming up in just a little bit longer than 40 minutes from now. Good conversation with Marty Smith from ESPN. I enjoyed it a lot. I think you will as well. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I walked into the, Lonzo walked into the office this morning, and he said...
Which I tend to do when I get here.
It's the start of a story, great one. It's the start of a story. Lonzo walked into the office this morning as I was sitting over in the Fortress of Nerditude, grabbing some final sound bites for the audio blitz, which we will do at 8 o'clock this morning. And he said, I can't believe... you're not wearing Saints colors today. I am not. I mean, I technically am. I wore a black shirt, but this is my funeral shirt. It's my funeral shirt because
you definitely got the funeral glasses on.
Uh huh. It's my funeral look. This is my rip from Yellowstone goes to a funeral vibe that I'm putting out today. And during the last break, we got to talking a little bit about Saints-Panthers this Sunday, Bank of America Stadium. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I don't know if I'm going yet or not. I know I said yesterday
you said
I was.
You're going.
Ask me where my tickets are. Ask me where my tickets are.
I don't care.
Good. I don't have any yet. I haven't bought tickets.
No, come on. You said yesterday, tickets are secured. Mm-hmm. You said parking is secured. Mm-hmm. You said everything's mm-hmm. taken care of.
The tickets, if I want them, are downstairs. I have not gone and gotten them yet. The parking passes, if I want them, are downstairs. I have not gone down there and picked them up. Now, if this was to an event I actually wanted to go to, I would have gone down yesterday during a break and grabbed the envelope with the stuff in it. I didn't do it.
So you're saying I could go down and take them and use them for myself?
Well, no, because they are for me.
All I got to do is say, hey, I'm grabbing them for Rob.
I mean, yes.
As you're
going to sit through Saints-Panthers Sunday?
Absolutely.
Okay, have
a ball. It's going to be an amazing thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know why I won't be? Because Rob's going to go.
Okay.
That's why I won't be. Rob is absolutely going to be there. He's going to meet Rashad for drinks mm-hmm. beforehand. He's going to have a good time. And then he's going to come home and watch some more football. That's what you're going to do. Because it's your job and you're going
to
do it.
The clubhouse leader for me right now. No, my job is to come in here and talk about football, which I can absolutely do without going to a 3.5-hour BS contest between two bad football teams. Okay? What is actually clubhouse leader for what I'm going to do this Sunday is actually go to the Ren Fair. Like, I'm literally thinking to avoid watching two garbage can football teams fight it out, I might go to the Ren Fair instead on Sunday. All right? Here's the thing. I am in an odd way, and you can judge if this makes me a bad fan or not. I am in an odd way, kind of hoping the Saints lose on Sunday on the road to Carolina. Genuinely. I'm kind of hoping they lose. And I'm kind of hoping they lose because this football team has already shown. Now, Derek Carr's coming back, allegedly. Here's how I know we're cooked. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, Derek Carr, he's returned to practice from that oblique injury. Right around the time frame that Cody Decker said, who's dealt with this injury before, he said, you're looking at probably 4 weeks before he's ready to go. This is week four. Looks like he's ready to go. Derek Carr was speaking to the media earlier this week. And they said, hey, man, you're back. You know, the offense, not really what Saints fans hoped that it had been under Spencer Rattler, under Jake Haener. You're back. Is this offense going to click? You know what his response was? It wasn't, I'm excited. It wasn't, yeah, we're feeling good. Practice great. We're moving the football well. You know, that we're on a pace, yada, yada, yada. You know what Derek Carr's first words to the media were?
Was he dressed in goth?
No.
Like he normally, so he wiped that stuff out from under.
You understand that's just what he looks like, right?
Nuh-uh.
Yes. So, that's almost as bad as when Drew Brees went on Oprah, and Oprah tried to wipe.
Yeah, wipe that thing off.
She said, yeah, a little something on your face and tried to wipe his birthmark off his face. I've never cringed more in my life. Anyway.
That had to be a joke, dude. I mean, come on.
I don't think it was. So, Derek Carr's first statement to the media, making his return to QB1 for the Saints against the Panthers this weekend was, I'm not a savior. That's not the exact mark of confidence I'm quite looking for at a QB1. I'm not saying he needs to come out here and say, I am football Jesus. I am here to save you all from the fire and brimstone of a 5-12 season. Only that. What I would like is my starting quarterback to not come out and go, whoa, guys. We're going on a road against the worst football team in the NFL. Let's temper the expectations a little. But yeah, we're confident. Nope. I'm not a savior. Don't look at me. Don't talk about me. Don't expect me to come out here. I am hoping in a weird way that actually Carolina gets the win. And I hope it happens for a couple of reasons. Number one, I hope it happens because with start number two under his belt, and granted, Bryce Young had a garbage first half against the Denver Broncos, pretty good third and fourth quarter against the Denver Broncos. Okay? I'm hoping that momentum continues a little bit for Bryce Young's sake, for the Carolina Panthers' sake, for Dave Canales' sake. But I hope more that the in a weird way, the Panthers beat the Saints on Sunday. Because there's no way that Dennis Allen survives if he loses to Carolina, right? Like, there's no way he survives if he loses to the Panthers. That's got to. I don't think it's immediate. Because firing a coach in season, am I right, Panthers fans, pretty much never leads to good things. It never leads to good things. I mean, yes, it gets you on the road to hiring a new coach if you think that the next guy is already in the ranks, you can raise them up to the interim tag and let them try it on for size. And I guess maybe that's like, that's kind of what I'm hoping happens, is that Dennis Allen gets his ass canned and we move Clint Kubiak up into the HC role on an interim basis. But I think the reason that I'm not committed about going to Charlotte to watch my football team Sunday, I think the reason I'm not committed is because I'm rooting for us to lose. This is one of those spots where the fandom of a football team and the knowledge of, you know, knowing the game, knowing a ball, the range between the two comes into conflict here. Because sure, as a fan, I don't want to have Rashad up in here next Thursday all up in my, because his team beat mine. I'm not trying to live that life. But on the other hand, sincerely, objectively, from a 36,000-foot window, what is accomplished if the Saints win this game? We're not winning this division. We're not winning a wild card spot. There is no playoffs this year for us. We are not in any way, shape, or form even close to contending. We are probably, I think, it's about time that the full rebuild switch gets flipped this offseason. Everybody's got to go. You're going back to square one. So, with all that being said, we need to find the guy that can kind of guide us through that and be building whatever the next identity of the New Orleans Saints is. And I hope that's Clint Kubiak. We'll find out. But keeping Dennis Allen as the HC is a great way to guarantee that you suck for longer. And I can't imagine, the Panthers are so bad, respectfully, I can't imagine Dennis Allen loses this game Sunday and survives. I can't imagine that they don't pull the trigger now. So I am rooting for the Carolina Panthers this weekend against my own football team. And I don't care if you think I'm a bad fan for it, because there are zero positives to beating the Panthers. None. Ooh, pride. I don't care about pride. I don't care about it. I care about trophies. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We are going to push the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet back one segment today, because coming up in the next segment, I am going to replay you my interview with ESPN's Marty Smith that I recorded earlier this week.
I'm not trying to do a semantic thing, but isn't that pushing it forward? Because pushing it back would mean we'd be doing it now, right?
No, pushing it back in the show would be the segment after.
But it's actually forward in the show because it's the next segment. It's not. So it's the following segment, not the segment that it normally is.
Would push
so that would be forward.
No, you would push, if you push something from 7 to 7:30, you're pushing it back in the day, back in the show,
no,
back
you're
whatever.
Pushing it forward.
No, Lonzo, forward is towards us. We would be
forward is not towards us. If I push you forward, you're repelling away from me.
If you push me, I'm going forward relative to you, but I am going backwards.
You are being pushed back,
right.
But I still disagree. You're still wrong.
You're like, you're right, but you're wrong.
Well, physically, yes, but in...
First off, I'm very proud of you for having a semantics argument. Welcome. It's fun. Second off, no. If you move something from 7:30
right.
to 7...
This is my first one ever in my entire life. Semantic argument.
It's one of the first ones you've actively brought up.
That's not true.
But...
There's been quite a few in the office involving another person also, and the forked roads that we go down.
Where
we all think we won, and probably none of us did.
The water cooler cheat sheet will be pushed down the rundown, back in the show, in order to play the interview I did earlier this week with Marty Smith from ESPN. We will have that for you coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll do the water cooler cheat sheet after that. 8 o'clock, the audio blitz, the best audio we've picked up from the last day or two. Then at 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will come by. 9 a.m., John and Kevin from, and maybe Jarrell, we'll find out, from the Move in the Chains pod will come by to run you through the high school football weekend. And then the back half of the show pretty much belongs to you.
I'm looking forward to 8:40 for the clash of two fan bases. And all the stuff that's going to be talked today between the Panther fan and the Saints fan. It's what I love about radio. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, I may have to hit the button a couple times because they're really going to go at it. So make sure you tune in for that.
You, Rashad. No, you, Rob. No, it's not. Listen.
He will not use that voice. When he's angry, we all know he gets louder. So, yeah.
You are about to listen to at 8:40 this morning. You're about to listen to two...
Compelling radio, because we wouldn't say anything otherwise, because that would be bad form, because we don't want you to turn away.
I have a responsibility, I think, to be honest with my audience, okay? I am not a guy who manufactures takes. I am not a guy who writes takes to be controversial, to get attention. I am somebody who tries to be honest about my takes, my thoughts, my opinions, whatever, down to and including many times saying, I don't have a take on this. I just think it's entertaining, right? The honest take right now is what you are going to listen to later on in the show is two dudes that are exasperated with their football programs. You are going to listen to two fans that are effectively experiencing the football version of an existential crisis. In fact, I would even argue it's worse for me than it is for Rashad. Because with Rashad, at least I can make up reasons to be optimistic.
So I thought you were going to say, because with Rashad, he should be used to being in this position because he's a Panthers fan. I thought that's what you were going to say.
Not at all.
That's not what you were thinking?
Not at all.
That's what we all thought you were going to say.
Well, then stop assuming what I'm going to say, because I may shock you.
I thought it was the beginning of the smack talk right here, like almost an hour before it happens.
Not even a little. You are listening to two bros who are going to talk ball as they experience an existential crisis as fans.
But you still should tune in, because it's going to be compelling no matter how boring he's trying to make it.
I'm not trying to make it boring.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be saucy. It's going to be like, oh, how did they contain all that in one studio? Good thing they're not in the same place. This could come to blows. It's so heated.
No, it won't. All right? Listen, I'm not trying to poo-poo my own show, but I also don't want people to say, Rashad, Saints are going to kick your ass. No, they're not. No, they're not. Somebody's going to walk out of this thing. It's going to be like a 7-4 football game for no reason.
All right, here's the thing. Rashad's going to bring his people with him, the Panther Nation with him, and they're going to talk stuff. So, I mean... It's you against them, and you're not going to stand up, rise up for your team.
Once again, and I know I'm getting myself in trouble here, I appreciate you doing what you can do to try to turn this into a clash of the Titans, and it's going to be mano-a-mano, Rashad and Rob, the Panther Nation podcast versus the Who Dat Nation. It's not going to be that. It's going to be two guys going through it with their teams. And again, for me, Rashad's in the better spot. Because I at least see the concept of a plan that's in place for the Panthers right now. There are some positives that you can point out, okay? There's some positives that you can point out in terms of, Tep's been largely out of the way. There was a story that was going on this past weekend where the allegation was that at the Broncos game, Tepper got into it with a Broncos fan and had them removed from the stadium because they were giving Tepper hell. But since then, a number of reporters in Denver, not connected to the Panthers, have come out and said, actually, it was stadium security who elected to remove this fan. But that is, as we have said a couple of times on the show, that's the first time since the hiring of Dan Morgan and Dave Canales. That's the first time I've heard David Tepper's name. That's good. That's good. You've seen guys like Xavier Leggett who have started to show up a little bit with the trade of Deontay. I think what you can take away from that is that this is a Panther team that is not going to play the game of, as much as I know it's going to bother Rashad Beard, and we'll talk to him about it. They're not going to play the game of let's go win as many games this year as we can, because winning games this year is, whether you like it or not, irrelevant and unimportant. That does not matter if you win games. What matters this year for the Cats is getting better, is developing, is progressing, is finding out who your dudes on the roster are and who your dudes are that should not be on the roster. And I think you're working in that direction. So at least with Carolina, I can point out things and go, this is in the right direction. This is in the right direction. Doesn't mean they're all gonna come to fruition. Doesn't matter this team's gonna be, it doesn't mean this team's gonna like suddenly be good next year. I think that this is a long-term growth project. But at least with Carolina, you can point to things and go, all right, by the end of this year, I'm gonna tell you right now, Bryce Young's starting every game the rest of the year. Because I need to know, is he a dog or not? Is he a dog or did we miss? I need to know going into next year. Offensive line. Who are the guys that are going to fight till the bitter end, even when there is no positive outcome? Who are those dogs? Where are my guys? Defensively. All right, you got a bunch of leaders that are down. You missed some time out of Shaq. You lost Brian Burns in the offseason. You lost Derek Brown to injury. You got a bunch of guys that you know are dogs that are unavailable. So who out of this group that's playing now are my dogs? This is all positive, whether you like it or not, for Carolina. For New Orleans, what's my positive?
Wow. So here's what I hear. A guy who's down on his team talking up the worst team in the league, trying to make his team the worst team in the league. And New Orleans is not the worst team in the league. The Panthers are.
No. Once again, hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I do not give a damn about wins for the Panthers this year. They're irrelevant. And the same is true for the Saints. I don't care about wins. Wins are irrelevant. What the hell's the difference between finishing 1-16 and 2-15 or 4-13 or 7-10? Zero difference. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, yes, it's important. Sure, it's important. But that, if that is your argument, then shouldn't the goal be to lose every game? Your goal should be don't win another game.
Yeah, but your team can't do that because they're better than the Panthers.
The point here for me is, with the Panthers.
What's the money line? Who's Vegas going with?
I don't know. I ain't looked. I'm sure it's probably New Orleans like plus 110 or minus 110.
So you don't think it'd be more than that?
No.
Because
why? I don't think you understand how booty cheeks we are.
If you look at that and it's a big spread, it's going to make your team look really good, and you don't want that to happen.
I'll tell you what I don't want to happen. What I don't want to happen is for my team to win another game. I'm dead serious. And if you don't understand this, I'm sorry, okay? But I don't want my team to win another game. I hope I am more miserable than ever the rest of this year.
Yeah, I hope you're not.
I hope I am a miserable, absolutely awful. We are 7-point favorites, minus 110 on the money line, as I predicted.
Wow, look at you.
That's Carolina at home, so the Saints are favored effectively by 10 in this one, which I don't get it. All right, but whatever. It's Vegas. I don't care.
You got a better quarterback, better defense, better running game. Of course New Orleans is favored.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
All right. Name a place where a position where the Panthers are better.
I'm not going to.
Because you can't.
Okay, I can't. Fine. I do not care about this year. Wins and losses are irrelevant to the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. They're irrelevant. What the Saints win this weekend? Do you think I'm coming here Monday like, yeah, got him, take that? No, I don't care. In fact, there is no benefit to winning this weekend. Zero, none. In fact, I would argue there's actually benefit to losing.
So which outcome would put you in a better mood Monday? Your Saints losing or your Saints winning?
There is no good mood. There's no good mood. I either win and I'm 1 week more with Dennis Allen as my head coach, which means we don't go anywhere. We spin our wheels in the muck for another few weeks, or I lose to the Carolina Panthers and give them their second win. What would have been their fourth win in 2 years?
So under the last coach, you did win a Super Bowl. But other than that, what was the average wins per year for the Saints?
Oh, we've been ass for a long time.
Okay.
The history of the franchise.
All right.
But just because the team has sucked forever doesn't mean it has to suck forever. All right? Like, you find your Sean Payton, you find your Drew Brees, and a window opens. That's how the game works. But I can tell you what you're not going to win with, Dennis Allen. You're just not going to do it. He has lost it. The team had multiple players-only meetings this week. Do you know what a players-only meeting means? It means we don't trust the coach to change anything to make us better. When your team has a players-only meeting, there are two reasons to do it. Number one, the team is blaming themselves. Great, accountability. I respect that. Or number two, the team goes, those bunch of yahoos over there with headsets and clipboards, they're not going to get it done for us. We have to get it done. This is on us. So last year, at the end of the year, as much as I actually kind of liked it, I knew Dennis Allen was cooked because he's a guy that has a career 30% winning percentage. That's bad. Mathematically, it's bad. I also knew they were cooked in the last game of the year when he sent in the V for victory formation against Tampa Bay, and the Saints held an on-field coup and decided, nah, actually, we're going to run the ball in for a touchdown to get Jamal a touchdown here, which, don't get me wrong, I appreciate it because I love Jamal, a guy who just wants to go home with his cats and watch anime. I respect the guy. But when the players basically give a middle finger to the coach and say, nah, dog, we're running it up on them. When last year in a road game against Atlanta, the Saints went out there and poured it on and he apologized to the Atlanta Falcons for running up the score. You don't get the organization. You don't get the program. You don't get the game. You got to go. A loss to Carolina at least would solidify and be one step closer to the departure of Dennis Allen, which is, it just has to happen now. Okay? So, yes, on Sunday, number one, I'm like a handful percent sure I'm not going to this game. Because what am I going to do? Go root openly against my own team? And what do I do? Go, yay, we won. Take that, all 2,500 fans in this building.
Who are you going with?
Nobody. The wife doesn't want to go. She's like, no, are you okay if I go to the spa? Absolutely.
You got two tickets and you were going by yourself. At least you can man spread like you normally do.
Oh, for sure.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be real comfortable. I mean, does it matter? You think I'm not going to be able to find 5 to 10 open seats in a row at Bank of America Stadium this Sunday? I don't think I'm going to have a problem finding space in that stadium.
I just think you're going. I do. I think you've already got someone going with you.
And
I think you're going to root for your team. I get you down on your team, but I think that's what you're
going to
do.
The only benefit to go into this game, the only benefit, would be to openly talk bleep to Panthers fans in person. How much fun is that? Yeah, we just handed y'all your 20th-something loss in the last 2 years. Take that, sucker!
Which is what you should do.
We're number three!
Yeah.
We're number three!
Exactly. At least you're not number four.
How is that fun to you?
Because it's better than four.
How is that fun? That's not fun. That's miserable.
It's finding positive in a negative situation, but unfortunately, you don't want to do that.
It's miserable.
Okay? All right.
We're not the worst. We're not the worst.
Absolutely.
No.
I mean,
no.
You're not the best, but you're not last.
No.
There's positive in there.
No. Nobody. Hey, who got eliminated? Who got eliminated second in the Royal Rumble last year? Nobody remembers because nobody cares. Hey, when we come back, I got the chance earlier this week to interview Marty Smith from ESPN. We're going to play you that interview when we return. That's after Lonzo wows you with this definitely not last place sports flash.
Yeah, because I'm the only one who does it on the station. So, first and last, that's what I'm doing. An amazing game happened last night. The New York Jets broke a 5-game losing streak with a 21-13 win over the Houston Texans. Aaron Rodgers, Rob's favorite quarterback, completed 22 of 32 passes for 211 yards and 3 touchdowns, outdueling C.J. Stroud, who was only 11 of 30 for 191 yards with no touchdowns. Garrett Wilson made an amazing touchdown early in the fourth to take the lead. You need to watch it. It's really, really cool. Familiar voice to baseball fans has stepped away from the mic after calling games for 42 years. Bob Costas announced yesterday he's called his last game. His last game was the ALDS series between the Yankees and Royals. Costas has been calling games since 1982. Hey, tune in tonight, 7 p.m., as Burns Rebels head to Boiling Springs to take on the Bulldogs right here on your home for Burns football, The Fan, Upstate.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.